Happy Sabbath to all. I really would like to thank the Lord for this great opportunity to be part of the worship in the Gateway Church today. I praise God for what you are doing with God and for God, and God is glorified. Please keep up the good work. Very happy to be part of this program. And I would like also to thank Brother Johnny and the team of leadership for inviting me to share the word of God, to break the bread of life this morning. May the Lord bless all of us as we worship together. We know, brothers and sisters, that we live in an unusual time. Because of the coronavirus, the COVID-19, our lives are different now, impacted and affected by this in many dimensions of life, physical, mental, social, and even spiritual, economical. It is a fact of life now. Then when we look around and when we see all of this, my brothers and my sisters, we need to ask the following question. In the clock of the earth history, what time is it? And what do we need to do to get ready? Now that once we know the time of the earth history, we need to get ready. Not only to get ready, but we need to be ready. And that's why the title of our sermon today is It's Time to Be Ready. Not just getting ready, but to be ready. Let's just bow our heads as we pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to serve you. And now as we open your words, we pray, Lord, that you help us to open our minds and our hearts so that we can receive what you have prepared for us today. We'd like you to take control and take over right now so that this divine service will be a service that will transform us and guide us and help us not just to get ready, but to be ready for your soon coming. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and inspiring us right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What time is it now in the earth history? And what do we need to do to be ready? I would like us to open your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 21, Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11, right there, we can see also Isaiah asking that question, 21 and verse 11. He said, "He calls to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night?" And then second time, "Watchman, what of the night?" So Isaiah is asking this question. He said, "Watchman," asking the watchman, "What is the time right now?" Well, we know, every one of us, we are familiar with many signs of the times. We have been talking about this all along. But this morning, I would like just to focus on few of those, probably not very familiar, what we used to talk about. And I would like just to talk few, 1 to 3, of these signs of the time, just to answer the question, what time is it? The first one of the signs of the time, which is not very familiar, or we are not talking a lot this, I would like us to open our Bibles in Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, we know the passage. It is said like this, verse 1 to 5, but we are going to read a few verses of this. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. So this is about perilous time. It about the end of time. So we can see here that at the end of time, there will be perilous times. And there is a note there, a little bit, a number in my Bible, New King James Version. It is just a one. It takes about a little note. And it is said about the perilous time. It is said the time of stress. Time of stress. So it is said right here that at the end of time, it will be a time of stress. That is a sign of the time. Many times when we talk about the sign of the time, at least myself, I didn't really emphasize this. But the Bible talks about the perilous time, time of stress, just to tell us about the sign of the time. What time is it now? What about stress? And then in another verse, we can go to Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. It is said, distress of nation, distress of nation. At the end of time, there will be then stress, distress. Stress is a sign of the time. That is one. We see that now. Of course, we have been, we know throughout history, people were stressed and there was stress. But we know when we go and study what is going on right now, it is totally pronounced. And especially because of this COVID-19, it is even intensified this stress and distress and depression and all of this. It is a sign of the time. Stress is a sign of the time. And then the second one, the second one is, I would like us to open our Bible in Matthew chapter 24. That also a chapter talks about the signs of the time. Matthew chapter 24, right there, Jesus Christ talked about the signs of the time. But I would like us to read verse 12. Verse 12, it is said here, I read it. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, talks about lawlessness, crimes and all of this. But I would like to emphasize the last part. The love of many will grow cold. So we see this in Matthew chapter 24, that the love of many, not few, love of many will grow cold. And then we can also go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the signs there, people will be unloving. People will be unloving. Verse 2, it is said, lovers of themselves. And then verse 3, it is said, unloving. So lack of love or coldness as when it comes to love is a sign of the time. We can see that. Even during my lifetime, I can tell the difference between then and now. The love, the warmth of love in the family, in the community, we can see this. And that is a sign, the sign of the time. So we have already talked about two now. Stress, the signs of the time. And lack of love is a sign of the time in a pronounced way. And then we have another one. I have noticed this as well. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. And let's read verse 2. Verse 2, we have their list. But I would like, just as I said, we just need to focus on one here. It is said in verse 2, disobedient, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous. And here is disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Of course, all along throughout history, we studied and we read about disobedience. But what is going on right now, it is really very pronounced. Disobedience. This is a sign of the time as well. And then the fourth one is in Luke chapter 21 and verse 11. Right there we talk about many things, but it is verse 11, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So we see those. We talk about earthquakes and various places and famines, but we don't really talk much about these pestilences. But here it is. We know for a fact this is going on right now. Our lives have been affected by this, impacted by this in a very pronounced, in a very focused and intensified manner, pestilences. And the spirit of prophecy talks about this in the book Great Controversy, page 589 and 590. And I would like us to read this together. Wherever you are, you can just follow. So it is a very powerful, powerful statement when it comes to the end of time, the signs of the time, while appearing to the children of man as a great physician who can heal all the maladies. He, that means the devil, you will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now, he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods and cyclones and tidal waves and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms. Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest. You see, it is happening right now. I think you have followed the news in East Africa, the locust and all of this, and that definitely will cause famine, and even what is going on right now will cause a problem in food security. So it is happening in a very clear way. So I will continue. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. Yes, definitely. You see, remember where I talked about the distress, depression, and all of this. He imparts to the air, you see that, a deadly tint. And it is clear that even this COVID-19, it is also in the air. And thousands perish by the pestilence. How many people already died now by this coronavirus? A lot, and infected by this, by millions, my brothers and my sisters. And then these visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. That is predicted. And destruction will be upon both men and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. So it is then clear that is a sign of the time. pestilences. It is happening right now. And then the way these things are happening, it is described in the book Last the Events, that it will be rapid. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. Underline the word greatest, not just great magnitude, but the greatest magnitude. The agencies of the evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. And note this, great changes are soon to take place in our world. I'd like to just draw our attention that this passage by Ellen G. White was written in 1909, 111 years ago. So he said, great changes are soon to take place. It is happening right now. And it is said, and the final movements will be rapid ones. It is clear, few months ago, we didn't talk about this virus. Myself, I was not aware of this. But just in a very clear way, it was so fast. The change was so fast. So it is fulfilled here. The final movements will be rapid ones. Those are just few signs, my brothers and my sisters, that will mark the end of the history of the earth. They are happening right now. So the question was asked, what time is it? What is the time when you look at that? And the answer is clear. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, we have read that, and it is said, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And then in verse 12, Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Far spent. The day is at hand. So the answer is, it's clear. What time is it? It is really the end of time. Very short time. That is the clock of the earth history. So it is so obvious that we live the end of the time. So the question is, now that we know the time, we don't know how much time, but one thing we know, it is short. So the question is, what do we need to do to be ready? What is our response? Because Jesus Christ also said in Luke chapter 21, just to emphasize that, before we go into what to do, Luke chapter 21, verse 28 to 31, said, now, when these things began to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And said, when they already budding here, then verse 29, then he spoke to them a parable. Jesus spoke to them in parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. You see and know for yourself that summer is now near. You also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. The answer is clear. What time is it? It is short. It is near. So now the question, what do we need to do? It's good to know all of this, but it is very important for you and I. We live in this time. What do we need to do? You and I. You as an individual and we as a church. What do we need to do? Not just to get ready, but to be ready. What is our response? Our response is given in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, I would like us to take our Bibles now. I would like us to read Luke chapter 21 and verse 9. Verse 9. When you see all of this, then Jesus is telling us, verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. Do not fear, or fear not. We are wondering, when you see all of this, all of these signs, definitely as human beings, and we live in this generation, there must be some fear in our heart. Yes, but Jesus said, don't be afraid. How do we do that? You see, the world, it is already said that they were so terrified. In verse 25, it is said here that, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves of roaring. And then verse 26 is the response of the world, those who do not have God, men's hearts filling them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. So their hearts fail them and they are afraid, they are terrified, they are very much worried about what is going on. When people talk about what is going on economically, socially, and many things, people really, they don't know the right answer. They're struggling to find the right answer to respond to what is going on right now. But Jesus said, don't join them. You don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Stay calm. Trust. How do we do that? David, the king, even before he was enthroned as a king, he passed through difficult times. And he had experience of difficulties and somehow fear. And he has given us the formula when we pass through challenges in life. And that is in Psalm 56 and verse 3. Psalm 56 and verse 3. I read, and this is the key to when it comes to our response. It is said, whenever. It doesn't say if, I'm afraid, whenever. It may happen because of what is going on. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. That means we have two things there, fear and faith, fear and trust. So David is saying here, when there is fear in my heart, that is the time when I even trust God more. So the antidote of fear is trust and faith. And Sister White says in the book, Last Day Events, page 12, it is said there are stormy times before us, but let us not utter one word of unbelief or discouragement. That is the key. What is the meaning of that? That means don't feed the fear. because the word of unbelief and discouragement feed the fear. When you are together, when you start to say, whoa, I don't really know what is going on. This is a terrible time. I don't know. We don't know what the answer is. So we are feeding the fear with the words of unbelief and discouragement. The spirit of prophecy said, don't do that. Because if we feed that one, give food, then it will become stronger and stronger and stronger, and it will overwhelm us. But what we should do, we need to entertain. We need to feed. We need to give food to our faith through the promises of God. This is the time for us to claim those promises in the Bible, in Psalms, and in many, in the Gospels, and the promises of God. We can even commit to memory some of these, and that will give strength to our faith. That will increase our faith. This is the time also for us to encourage one another. When we are together, let's talk about the power of God. Let's talk about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's talk about those promises. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about God is taking care of us. Yes, there are many things that are happening, but look, God is with us. This is what David is saying here. When I am afraid, David says, I will trust in you. Let's learn what to trust God. And then in the book, Prophets and Kings, it is said, when we are edged about on every side, this is the time above all others to trust in God and in the power of His Spirit. The exercise of living faith means an increase of spiritual strength and the development of an unfaltering trust. It is thus that Saul becomes a conquering power. You know, trial is the way for us to be strong. One day, there was a sister, and she came to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I really would like you to pray for me because I know my faith is not strong. I would like to have strong faith, Pastor. Would you pray for me? And the pastor replied, yes, sister, we can do that. We all need prayer for our faith to be strong. Said, we are going to pray right now for your faith to be strong. So they knelt down and the pastor prayed. A fervent prayer. And the pastor started to pray. Lord, here is my sister. She really wants her faith to be stronger. So I'm praying today. Send trials in the life of this sister. The fiery trials, the hard trials, Lord. Let her pass through trials. Lord, please do that so that her faith becomes stronger. I believe, Lord, that you have already done that. You have already sent trials in the life of my sister here. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And then the prayer was finished. And the sister said, Pastor, how come you prayed for trials to come to my life, Pastor? And it is not even a simple one. It is fiery trial. Do you think, Pastor, that is fair? And then the pastor said, my sister, we have just talked that you have asked me to pray for you that your faith be stronger. So the only way I know for our faith to be stronger is that it has to pass through fire. Trials, And that's why, my sister, I prayed so that your faith can become stronger when you pass through challenges. My brothers and my sisters, all these trials and challenges that we were having, they are all victory in disguise. They are all opportunities for us to grow, even though they are not from the Lord, but they can be used by the Lord to strengthen our faith, the challenges. I kind of developed a little formula. I call it the triple T's, T-T-T, an acronym. Said the first one, the first T is trial or test. The trials and the test of life, that is it. The challenges, the difficulties, the troubles and the tribulations of life. That is our first T, my brother. That is our first T, my sister. And then the second T, I call it trust or faith. When we face the challenges with faith in trusting God, no matter what, then those trials, those problems will be transformed, will be converted into testimonies. Testimonies. So all the trials are testimonies in the making. So remember the three T's: trial, tested, and trust and testimonies. So when you pass, our response to all of this is trust. Let's trust God. Let's not be discouraged. Yes, we know that this is a challenging thing. Maybe some are struggling, losing jobs, and maybe reduced pay, and all of this challenge, all of this, that's real. But remember, if we trust God, God will transform that into a testimony. You will have a testimony. You will be able to say, well, during COVID-19, war, other things, it was rough, it was tough, but I trusted God. I just relied on him, and look what he has done. God is good. I praise God. That is your testimony, and it will become an inspiration and an encouragement for others as well. So that should be our response. The second response that Jesus Christ said is in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and this time we will be reading, verse 8. Let's read verse 8. And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Take heed that ye will not be deceived. You see, at the end of time, that means now, there will be a lot of deception sent by the devil. And if we are not careful, if we don't get ready and to face this, we will be deceived. And even the very elect, Jesus Christ said, it is so deceitful, and we will be deceived if we are not careful. But Jesus said, don't be deceived. How to do this? In the book, Great Controversy, it is said in on page 625, said here, only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captives. Two things there that we need to do. not to be deceived. First, study diligently the scripture. If we don't study diligently for ourselves, the Bible, we will be deceived. That is first. But studying diligently is not enough. The spirit of prophecy says, the writings of Ellen G. White says here, those who love the truth. We must love the truth. Not just know the truth, but love it. Put it into practice. That is the only way for us not to be deceived. So we should not be terrified. Don't fear. And we are saying, don't be deceived, Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived. You see, if we study the Bible and we are not careful, we will be deceived. We must study it in a very diligent way. And we must love the Bible. Our attitude is very important. And then we need to watch. You see, in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36, Luke chapter 21, going back to Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36, but take heed to yourselves. And then verse 36, watch therefore, watching. You see, when I lived in a place one day, in a community, and the security was not really good. So the leader of our county decided that we need to reinforce the security. And he said, okay, we need to have a roster. All men, those who can still physically, we need to assign them a night to watch. That was more than 30 years ago. I was already pastoring. And he said, okay, everyone will have his share. Well, yes, we were men. And I had also my night. So I was with a group of people watching, going around throughout the night. I tell you, I understood better the word, the meaning of watch, to watch, is to be alert all the time, to be ready all the time, because at any time, the criminals, the evil people may just come. And if you happen to not to be ready, then that will mean death. We need to watch every time. That should be our response, watching. Every time, morning, throughout the night, watch. So that we will be together with the Lord all the time. Watch. And this watching is in a special way. With regard to the way we watch, the Bible tells us about counting the day. How to watch is to be related to counting the day. In Psalms 90, we are going to study this passage. Psalm 90, it is also a familiar text. But many times we use this when there's funeral service. But when you study it carefully, it is not just funeral service. It is about the way to be ready. I like this in Psalms 90 and verse. Let's start with verse 12. Verse 12, I read, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number. Does this mean that the psalmist didn't know how to count? You know, counting is very important in life. The other day, one of our grandsons came here, and the parents, it will be soon, it will be actually two now, and the parents just said, okay, can you count? So the little boy started to count, 1 to 10. And he was so happy, and we're so happy also. Counting is important in life. How many people attended the meeting? How many people are participating in this divine service right now? Counting money, counting people, counting days, and counting hours, and counting. So counting is important. I'm sure, definitely, the way to count the days here, it does not mean that he didn't know how to count the days, day one, two, three, four. But there's another way of counting the day. And if we don't know how to count the days, then it will affect our readiness, our preparedness. But if we know how to count the day, that will also affect in a very positive way when it comes to our preparation for the coming of Jesus. Count the day. The meaning, we can find it right there. The verse 10 and verse 11, especially verse 10. It said, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That is the way to count the day. What? The psalmist is saying here that time is short. Our life is short. Not knowing to count the day is counting it in a wrong way to say that our lives are long. We have plenty of time. But the Bible says that our life is short. That will help us to prepare in the right way. And in Proverbs chapter 20, 27, it is said how to count it. He said, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So that is the way to count. Don't count many days. He said, don't even count tomorrow, because tomorrow, it is not yours, really. Even for today, what will happen this afternoon, if I try to explain this, we don't know. So the Bible is saying, when you count, don't count it for too long. We will find out why. But count today. And it is true. We cannot really say today that within a week, I'm sure I will be alive. Or within 3 months, I will be alive. Of course, next year, I will be alive. 5 years from now, I will be alive. I'm sure. Can we say that, really? We can't. We can wish that we will be alive, but it's not guaranteed. And it is true. I know of a friend, we just attended the General Conference in Europe. That was in 95, a very close friend of mine. And they finished the General Conference in Holland, and they drove because they lived in Europe with his wife and his little daughter. They drove, and my friend just said, oh, I'm so thirsty. Was driving, and his wife said, well, let's just stop at the gas station. And they stopped. And his wife said, don't worry, I'm going to buy water for you to drink, something for you to drink. So she went. And when she came back, my friend died already of a massive heart attack. Just that day. So this is true, and we have examples like that. So the Bible is clear. Even what is going to happen this afternoon, we don't know. We are not sure. The Bible is saying what is sure is today and now. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible says, now we need to choose today, not tomorrow, today. And in Hebrew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it is said, today we have to decide. Today, when it comes to spiritual thing, today is the day. Because if we don't count it properly, we will be like the evil servant in the parable of Jesus. In the parable of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 48 and 49. Matthew chapter 24, verse 48 and 49. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servant and eat and drink with the drunkards, we might not say, well, I'm not a drunkard. But anything that can intoxicate us can be classified as things that can make us drunk of that thing. If we delay, if we think that we have plenty of time, then we will have a problem. In our heart, we say, well, Jesus is coming, but I'm sure they still have a lot of time. That will affect, that affected this evil servant in the parable of Jesus. In his heart, he said, no, the master is delaying now. He's coming, sure, but not now. So he started to have to do many things, unfortunate things. The impact of that, of knowing, or in our heart saying that there will be a delay, there will be a negative impact in our relationship with God. I may say, well, I really would like to study the Bible more, but I don't have time this year. Well, this month I'm too busy, but next month I promise I will spend more time studying my Bible. Well, you see, I love prayer, but I am so busy to pray. So next year, when I organize my affairs, I will spend enough time praying, but this year it is really hectic. Oh, I would like to give Bible studies, but I'm so busy, but I'm organizing myself now. Within 6 months, while I clear all of this, then I will have time to give Bible studies. I know that my friend, he really needs to study the Bible. My parents, they are not yet in the faith, and my siblings and all of this. So I said, but I don't have time now. I will do that later on. I know that these bad habits, I know it's not good, but well, I will do it for a while. And by a few months from now, I will be able to overcome this. But right now, let me just enjoy this. This is the problem. And that's why the Bible says that is boasting, saying that we must live. That is a spirit that we need to pay attention. And not only when it comes to relationship with our God, but even when it comes to the relationship we have with others. Oh, I have a problem with so-and-so, but I don't think I'm in the mood of doing that now. I will be, maybe next year, I will forgive him. Or I will make peace, but now this month, no. So we tend to procrastinate, to delay, and that will affect our preparation, our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with other, and even our relationship with the work of God. That is not going to help us to be ready. We need to be ready now. I've learned this in a hard way. I had a sister. I said I had because she's no more now. Just 2 years difference between her and I. Just she is younger, 2 years younger than me. And we grew up together, got married, and there was already a pastor, even the leader of the church, busy. And one day I went to her place, just passing by, just driving. And she said, my brother, I really need to spend some time with you. I need to share something with you. And I was busy and I said, yes, yes, but I just spent a little time with her. And then I left. After a few weeks or so, then I received a message that my sister passed away. She was pregnant and she did not make it in the maternity with the baby in her womb. So that was my last time I spent with my sister. I felt so bad about that. I learned a lesson that when you meet someone, it's possible that that can be your last time for you to see him or to see her, or for her or for him to see you. And we need to show that we need to do everything we can to do what the Lord wants us to do. And in the book, Last Day Events, page 77, paragraph 1, this is a powerful statement. We should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. We should watch and pray and work and pray as though this were the last day. This was the last day. And then in the same book, paragraph 2, page 77, our only safety is in doing our work for each day as it comes. Working, watching, waiting every moment, relying on the strength of him was dead and who is alive again, who lives forevermore. That is what we need to do. So the spirit of prophecy, the servant of the Lord says, if you are right with God today, you are ready if Christ should come today. You are ready. The title says, be ready. This is the key. If you are right with God today, you are ready if Christ should come today. Christ might come today. Or I may lose my life today. And that's it. But we need to be ready now. That is what we need. Being ready. Not tomorrow, but today. This is what we need to do. What will be the impact of that feeling, that knowing that this might be our last day? This might be our last 24 hours. I had a seminar today, an workshop, and I asked the participants to think. Let's say that you have 24 hours to live. How do you spend that 24 hours? And then I divided them into group war. I assigned them and they asked them to give report. And it was quite interesting, the answer. And he said, well, we need to do that then. What is the impact of this? If to live as if this is the last day. First, we will not be crushed by the worry of tomorrow. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it is said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then the Spirit of Prophecies said, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 200. We need to trust in Jesus daily. How early? You see there, daily, day, hour. He has promised that as our day is, our strength shall be. By his grace, we may bear all the burdens of the present and perform its duties. But many are weighed down by the anticipation of future's troubles. They are constantly seeking to bring tomorrow's burdens into today. Thus, a large share of all their trials are imaginary. For this, Jesus has made no provision. He promises grace only for the day. To me, this is profound, and it is just very helpful. So the first is the worry. We just think of today. We don't need to borrow those worries of tomorrow. Just today. And we will be stronger. Then when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, then we know that we need to be ready today. We need to study the Bible, as today will be our last day to live on earth, where Jesus would come. We need to pray, as today is actually the last day. And we need to study, and we need to preach the gospel. We need to have that relationship with others as if this is the last opportunity. And to need to work for God as if this is the last opportunity. You know, Madagascar, my country of origin, was colonized by France before. And my dad lived in the time of colonialism. And he told me that there was this practice that the government may just commandeered the man from the village for a project. And they just give a very short notice for the men to join this project during colonial time. So in a village, then the leader said, okay, so and so, you will join the project by tomorrow, or the day, just maybe 2 or 3 days. And that was a harvest time. We plant a lot of rice. That was the harvest time, the time to harvest the rice. And this man panicked. And he said, what will happen? What will happen to my rice now? It will be destroyed. Who is going to harvest this? So you panicked. But he decided to do something. That night, he started to harvest. Harvest his field, the rice. And all night he worked, and he finished the work of few men in just one night. He had this sense of urgency because he knew that that would be, if he didn't use that time, he would be sorry. My brothers and my sisters, this should be our mind, our mindset. Time is short. We need to work as today will be the last day. Then the question is, what will happen? Are we going to abandon life then? Are we not going to do plans? No. I have been wrestling a little bit about this. What will happen? What will happen to the plans? Then I studied it. And then in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, God is not against planning. Actually, God encourages us to plan. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war against the devil. We need to plan. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And then in verse 16, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The thoughts there is the plan. So we need to plan. Then the Sister White gives us an explanation of this. That means we have to plan. We need to plan. Said each morning, consecrate yourselves and your children to God. For that day, makes no calculation for months or years. These are not yours. One brief day is given you. This is what we are talking about. When it comes to assurance, the only day, the only hour is now. But as if it is where your last on earth, work during its hours for the masters. And then lay all your plans before God. So plan, but lay your plans before God to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. So we need then to lay our plans to be given up or to do it. So we plan, but the plans, first of all, it must be, we must do it while we are waiting for the coming of Jesus, or for the time that our life on this earth ends. And then the plan must be also according to God's plan. We have to do God's will. This is what we need to do. So plan. So students, continue to study. This is not to say, well, I might die today, so I will stop studying. Or professionals say, I need not to work anymore because Jesus might come today. No. Jesus Christ said, actually, occupy till I come. Said, Christ says, occupy till I come. Maybe but a few years. It may be but a few years until our life's history shall close. But we must occupy till then. We must work till then. Shine for the Lord. Do the best you can. Are you studying? Do your best. Are you working? Do your best. But in waiting, while you are waiting, you may say, well, what if I'm doing my best and then Jesus doesn't come that day? Oh, no problem. You are ready. Then you do it again tomorrow. And that's where you are progressing. And it is said in the last day events, page 76, it is not God's will that his elect shall abandon life's duties and responsibilities and give themselves up to idle contemplation, living in a religious dream. It is not the plan of God that we say, well, Jesus is coming, let me just pray. No, we need to continue what we need to do, but they have to be according to the plan of God. They have to glorify God and according to the will of God. Crowd all the good works you possibly can into this life, the inspired pen says. Crowd till now. And our only safety is in doing our work for each day. But at the same time, we need also to be working. So we need to plan. We should watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us. But we can plan and we can work, and we do that in waiting. So now, pray, watch and work and pray as though this were the last day that would be granted us, according to the spirit of prophecy. But at the same time, continue working, glorifying God in whatever you do. We may think that will be, how can I do to be ready? I have good news for us today, my brothers and my sisters. In readiness, for us to be ready, we don't do this alone. There is a video clip here about Derek Redmond. I believe many of us, we have already seen this. But this touched me, and to me, that is all the way for God to encourage us. We are not alone. Let's just do this. Let's just listen to this. We know Derek Redmond, that happened in Barcelona, Olympics 1992. Let's just watch it. You see what is going on right now. He fell, he was injured, and the easiest way is to give up. But did he give up? No, he didn't. He wanted to finish the race. He did not want to give up. He wanted to finish his race. And that is his father. When his father saw that, and he said, you don't need to do this. But he said, no, I must go. And then the father said, if that is your decision, I'm going to help you to finish this race. My brothers and my sisters, we cannot be ready on our own. Our hope is in our Father. And he finished the race. He was ready. So today, as we see what is going on, we need to be ready. But there's no way we can be ready on our own. We need the Father, and he is there. Rely on him. And as long as we are with him, we'll finish the race. Just be ready. My prayer for all of us is that all of us, just be ready. Jesus is coming soon. This is the time for us to study the Bible more. This is the time for us to pray more. This is the time for us to be forgiven and to forgive one another. This is the time for us to be united, to love one another. And this is the time for us to preach the gospel. Time to be ready. May the Lord bless us. Would you like today to make a commitment, asking God to give you that commitment that you would like to be ready? Wherever you are, I would like you just to raise your hand. I don't see you, but God sees you. And I would like to have a prayer of commitment. Let us just pray right now. Lord, thank you so much that you want us to be ready. And you know already that you cannot do it on our own. Help us now. Help us to be ready. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity once again to recommit our lives to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.